Introduction. The Westminster Assembly convened in Westminster Abbey in London on July 1, 1643. This body engaged in honest and thoughtful activity for 5 years, 6 months, and 22 days. Thoroughness is conspicuous in all of its work. Church historians agree that this was one of the most learned bodies ever assembled on this earth for the formulation and promulgation of Christian truth. The personnel of this body was composed of the intellectual cream of the British Isles. Every member was carefully selected on the basis of learning and intellectual gifts. This group of divines was characterized also by deep and genuine spirituality. These men were spiritual giants. For the full period of their labors, it was their custom to set aside one entire day of each month for prayer and fasting. The men who composed this assembly were therefore prepared intellectually and spiritually for their task. In our day of renewed interest in biblical theology, it is well to remember that the primary rule these servants of Christ laid down for themselves to guide in all their discussions was, "What any man undertakes to prove as necessary, he shall make good out of Scripture." Every member was required to take the following vow, and it was read to all the members every Monday morning. "I do seriously promise and vow in the presence of Almighty God that in this assembly whereof I am a member, I will maintain nothing in point of doctrine but what I believe to be most agreeable to the Word of God, nor in point of discipline but what may make most for God's glory and the peace and good of His church." Present in this body of men were some of the most brilliant of contemporary philosophers. But they permitted not one iota of human philosophy to influence their creedal statements. Their sole objective was to think biblically and to express the mind of Scripture. The success of this undertaking is evidenced in the fact that although better than 3 centuries have passed since the publication of this work, the Confession of Faith has needed no significant change during all this time. Richard Baxter, a contemporary of the Westminster Divines, wrote in his autobiography an evaluation of this assembly. He affirmed, "The divines there congregated were men of eminent learning, godliness, ministerial abilities, and fidelity, and being not worthy to be one of them myself, I may the more speak the truth, even in the face of malice and envy, that as far as I am able to judge by the information of all history of that time, and by any other evidence left us, the Christian world, since the days of the apostles, had never a synod of more excellent divines, taking one thing with another, than this and the Synod of Dort." Dean Stanley of the Anglican Church declared that of all Protestant confessions, the Westminster Confession exhibits far more depth of theological insight than any other. Fair-minded scholars must concede that the goal that the Westminster Assembly kept before it of giving to the accepted Bible system of truth a complete, impregnable statement to serve as a bulwark against error, as a basis of ecclesiastical fellowship and cooperation, and as a safe and effectual instrument for the religious instruction of the people of God and their children, has been attained in a marvelous way. Judged by any sensible standard, the Westminster Assembly ranks among the greatest of ecclesiastical assemblies or councils in the entire history of Christianity. During the past 3 decades, many Presbyterians have ignored or failed to appreciate the wealth of Christian truth found in the Westminster Confession of Faith, the official creed of Presbyterianism. The result is the Calvinistic system means little to them. This neglect of our inheritance has proved expensive to our church. It is a source of weakness. Many who wear the label Presbyterian are destitute of knowledge and respect for the classical creedal statement of the church. About a year ago, Dr. Gordon H. Clark, a frontline philosopher and a brilliant theologian, published in the Southern Presbyterian Journal a series of articles on the Confession of Faith. These studies were characterized by remarkable originality and lucidity. The spirit of his articles was affirmative and constructive. His purpose at all times has been to explain, and not explain away, the difficult portions of the Christian message. Each chapter presents a wealth of penetrating insights. One of the presuppositions of the Confession of Faith was that the way to organize a group of ideas consistently is to put them in a systematic form. In this book, Dr. Clark has taken the finest theological concepts expressed in a systematic form in the Confession of Faith and shown to us their relevance to the church in the instruction of 20th century Christians. It is obvious to every mature reader of this volume that in Dr. Clark's thinking there can be no real conflict between true philosophy and the revealed truth. The author demonstrates that the Christian beliefs are not opposed to logic, and Christians must employ it in their teaching. He avoids the snares of both rationalism and irrationalism. We find in this volume the answers to the questions that thoughtful people are asking inside the church. There is a system of doctrine taught in the Bible, and Calvinism is this true system. This system provides the answers we need. The book is a real boon to all who are engaged in the teaching function of Christianity. It is adapted to high school groups, young adults, and other adults who face daily the anti-Christian paganism in the modern world. It is my conviction that our church for a long time has been desiring a practical book of this kind on the Confession of Faith. I predict that thoughtful pastors and sessions will use extensively this work for group study. If Presbyterians are to be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, this book should be earnestly promoted in all Presbyterian circles. Our church members seek guidance in matters pertaining to the Christian faith and life attitudes. This book shows the bewildered person of today where his salvation lies. Here we see that our salvation lies in placing ourselves under the sovereign and gracious rule of Christ, and not in the cheap schemes of auto-salvation so popular today. Dr. Clark has succeeded in making our Calvinistic heritage understandable to thoughtful minds and in convincing us that no other theological school has yet been able to present to us a better system for our acceptance than the one we have in the Westminster Confession of Faith. John R. Richardson, Doctor of Divinity, Pastor of Westminster Presbyterian Church, Atlanta, Georgia, April 1st, 1956.